Welcome to the 359. I'm Roger Chang.
And I'm Scott Stein.
Oculus unveiled its latest VR headset, the Quest. It is a sleek standalone headset with fewer wires and cables and full motion tracking. Scott, what do you think? Is this finally going to get VR into the mainstream?
Well, it's going to take more than that to get VR into the mainstream. But I think, because there have been a lot of attempts, but I do think this is a really exciting step if you want that Ready Player One feel in the real world. This is finally the untethered and full motion VR experience. We haven't had both of those before. Last year, Oculus Go was a standalone, but you had to stay in one place. It was really Oculus Stay.
I guess I'm impressed by the fact that there are no wires at all, even with the handset controls, there's no like power pack. There's no like wireless connection. It's like, this is full standalone, right?
Yeah. And it looks impressive in that sense. I tried an early version of this back in March before it was called Oculus Quest. And the headset contains everything compared to something like Magic Leap, which has a belt pack.
Yeah.
And still pretty bulky headgear. It really does seem very self-contained. And the controllers look very similar to the Oculus Touch controllers on PC. Mm. They're full motion. They have analog stick buttons. They should allow what they call a full hand feel or motion. You know, it's like, but that's important because it you can finally reach out and you could also move around in spaces.
Yeah.
And it can sense and map and track what your room's dimensions are.
Do you know what the distance of movement is? Is there like, is it a couple feet or is it fairly long? Or,
well, the distance of movement is potentially infinite, as far as like it will just keep mapping out. I think they mentioned 4,000 square feet as you move through. The actual range is probably going to be more like a couple of meters, and we still have to see. But a lot of those tend to be it can only really see a few feet ahead, let's say. But we don't know. It's using four wide angle cameras around the headset to do that inside out, to do 6 degree of freedom tracking.
Right.
And that's how it tracks the controllers, kind of like Microsoft's VR headsets on Windows. Now, it's supposed to really kind of pick up the slack and have motion sensors in the controllers that can help when it goes out of range. We'll have to see if there are any gaps in that tracking, but it looks promising.
So the other question is, obviously, the other big VR system, the HTC Vive, they sort of made their name as like the big full motion tracking system. A lot of wires in that system, fairly expensive. How do you think will HTC respond, or is this sort of does this put the Vive in a bad position?
I think everyone will respond. HTC does have its own Focus VR headset, and a lot of these are using similar chips. Apparently, the Quest is using, I think, a Snapdragon 835. To find out more, but it's a mobile processor. Again, last year's Google Lenovo Mirage Solo, which is developing 6 degree freedom tracking, is 835. The Vive Focus is 835. So there's a kind of a class of mobile VR that I think will start evolving. Oculus is going to get through the gate first on this and has a really strong relationship with software developers and a library. That being said, only 50 games at launch for this, apparently. So, not a gigantic, I mean, that's decent, but it's not a gigantic amount. How many of them will carry over from the Rift? Will the port be easy? What about all the Oculus Go titles, which there are hundreds? And what's the killer app?
Right.
I mean, there are some already out there, but we have to sort of see if those are enough.
Are there any killer apps, really?
I mean, I think, I don't play Beat Saber, but I think, I think that like rhythm fitness games are becoming really popular for people if you've used them. I think Tilt Brush and art games, art apps like Medium are great, but they haven't really said if they're making that. But I think if you could create on the fly. But I mean, you really have to be into those particular things. I don't know if those would necessarily draw in new customers just for those.
All right, and moving on to the iPhone XR, you wrote today that this is really the phone that we should be waiting for. Why is that?
I think the XR really, well, first of all, it's affordable. It's more affordable. It starts at $750, and everything we know so far, I haven't reviewed it, and I don't have one yet, but it uses the same processor.
Yeah.
It uses the same image sensor and ISP, all the camera tech that's in the XS. So that sounds like all the basic stuff you want. And the battery is supposed to be better. So that's already been listed as having the best battery life. So that all adds up to a great equation. The LCD display is not OLED, but Apple's LCD displays already look really good.
Right.
And it doesn't have a dual camera, but, Pixel 2 did fine. And, I think sometimes you just need a single camera. Is that enough to spend all the way up for just a dual camera on the XS? Will there be any other surprises? There's no 3D touch, but most people don't really use that anyhow.
Right.
But it sounds like a perfect, not too crazily priced new iPhone. And that is something that I think a lot of people want.
All right. We don't have enough time to dive into these topics, but please check out our site. An explainer piece that I wrote on 5G. We've got a look at how NASA is reinventing itself after 6 decades. And we also wanted to wish, lastly, a happy birthday, happy 20th birthday to Google. All right. For more on these stories, check us out on CNET. I'm Roger Chang.
And I'm Scott Stein.
Thanks for listening.